Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk KKFT. FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk. KKFT.
And it's 3:50, 10 minutes before 4. Jerry Evans in for Lars Larson. My guest, Chuck Muth. And Chuck, phone lines lit up. People, so I'm going to jump into them real quick. We'll keep you up to the top of the hour if we can. If you want to call in, okay, when there's an open line, 775-884-9910. Barbara in Carson City. Barbara, what's your question for Chuck?
Hi, Mr. Evans. Just wanted to make a comment first. Thank you for your local broadcasting. Appreciate all you've done. And Chuck Muth, we've had a lot of respect for you in Nevada over the years with your voice. However, I was getting disturbed also by the conversation, and I'm glad Bruce called in because there's some things he didn't get mentioned that maybe you're not aware of. I was very involved in the legislature when all these bills that put all this in place were being passed for the primary. And of course, as a lot of the listeners don't know, the legislature was run by the Democrats and no Republican bills were being heard. And even the governor had a good election correction bill and he couldn't even get it heard. So what the primary is was set up by the Democrats for their purposes, with all of these extra rules, you know, all the extra days which Ruth mentioned, but the caucus, and by the way, I know the arguments over it, and I've talked to Michael and different party people. I guess I should have gone to the convention, but I am confused as well. I was surprised that some names weren't on the primary, but I understood that you could go to them both, so maybe it was up to the candidates. But this is very important why they're doing it.
Okay, Barbara, let Chuck address that. And okay, I think what I picked up on there was very confusing. Chuck, go ahead.
Yeah, it is. Here's the difference. We have done the caucus in the past. It is absolutely true that in 2021, the Nevada State Legislature passed a bill that said we're going to go with a primary from this point forward. Now, I was opposed to it, but that's the rule. And you'll notice that some of the other things that they passed was legalizing ballot harvesting, for example. And now, because the law has been passed and it's the law, the Nevada Republican Party is actively out there training and encouraging people to ballot harvest. You have to play by the rules as they are, not the rules that you wish them to be.
Thank you, Barbara. Let's go to Tom in Carson City. Tom, quick question for Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck, first of all, I appreciate your comments and appeal for a number of years. I don't see you there any longer. But I wanted to mention, as a Republican, conservative, retired healthcare practitioner for 50 years, and I wanted to, God bless you, Jerry, you have an incredible, incredible station. It's one of the two, three I listen to, aside from classical music.
But thank you. Appreciate that.
It is true. And Chuck is a great columnist, editorial writer, and I miss him in the appeal. But I'm saying that the trouble with this particular balance between primary and caucus is that they assume that the Republicans have not only are more intelligent, which in most cases they are, but they assume they have more time to make these decisions to get there. We've got to make it, the Democrats, you might as well, you can go down like Joe and get a ice cream and vote. Doesn't matter whether you're registered, not registered, or whatever. And the Democratic legislature in Carson City has made it so amenable, even though the New York Times is about indicating that 10% of the population would vote for Trump than Biden. It's so easy, and especially with our border crisis, there's so many problems we're facing right now. We should make it a little easier to vote. And I agree with both of you gentlemen on this particular issue. The caucus versus Republicans from
Hey, Tom is dropping out.
Tom,
appreciate the phone call and appreciate the compliments. And Chuck, if you want to address him. And then I'm going to go back to one thing that Bruce mentioned that I'm thinking about now, about questioning your commitment. But Tom, again, thanks for the call.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. I question your commitment. Good. You know.
Yeah, and there's two things.
Go ahead.
I mean, one, there's a question about whether or not your employer must let you off to vote in the caucus. It's the law now is that there's a state-run primary. So the law surely covers you if you want to vote in the primary. I'm not sure that law translates into the caucus, but nevertheless, it's not just about your employer. There are mothers who have to get to a PTA meeting or fathers taking their kids to a sporting event. And that doesn't mean they're not committed to the Nevada Republican Party. I found that highly offensive to say that if you don't show up for the caucus, then you're not really committed to you're not a good citizen and you're not committed. I thought that was insulting.
Yeah, you're so special. You've done such a phenomenal job. And I want to point out one thing. I've been in Nevada for 20 years, and there's one thing that has affected me probably more than any other bill that's passed. And it was done by the Republicans, and that was that tax bill. More than any other law or bill that's been passed in 20 years in Nevada, it was done by Republicans. And we're supposed to be committed to you because you're so special. I hate to do this, Chuck, but I'd like to ask you if you could stick around for another 15 minutes. Can you give us 15 more?
Fortunately, I have the time, and I'm happy to do it.
Well, good. Good deal. Okay, then we got to take a top-of-the-hour break, and we'll be back with Chuck Muth. If you want to, we got a couple open lines now, so 775-884-9910. If you got questions or a comment, just call in. We'll get you on right after the top of the hour, and we may cut the top of the hour a little short so we can get to your calls. You're listening to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Yeah, and my email, by the way, jerry@ebc.media. And somebody called in and asked about a podcast of today's show. Most of it will be podcast. We missed the first part of it, but you can go to the 991fmtalk.com website. Click on the tab for podcast, and it will be there. Chuck Muth is our special guest, gracious enough to stick around for a long time. Lots of questions, and if you have a real commitment, Chuck, to finding out what's going on, or if you have a real commitment to the Republican Party and what's going on, 775-884-9910, and Chuck can answer your questions about the primary caucus cluster, 775-884-9910. Chuck, thanks again for sticking around, and we'll get back to the caucus. And by the way, real quickly, how can people sign up to read what you write?
Yeah, they can go online. It's a free e-newsletter. Go to Muth's Truth. MUTHSTRUTHS, MuthsTruths.com.
And I recommend they go back and see if they can find, I assume you keep most of them up, but the September 15th, 2023 email, GOP Civil War in Nevada over caucus versus primary spreads. One paragraph there, written, I believe, by the officers and directors of the Nevada Republican Club. That's the largest Republican club in Nevada, 400 members. One quick paragraph, if I can read it. Mail-in ballots for the primary election will arrive around the 15th of January. Those ballots will contain only the names of those Republican candidates who filed with the Secretary of State's office by October 15, 2023. Candidates who filed for the caucus with the NVGOP will not have their names on the primary ballot. Most voters who don't pay attention to these things as we do will not understand this, and the Secretary of State's office is not obligated to explain it to them. They may or may not learn that they must attend the February 8th caucus to be able to vote for their preferred candidate. They may decide to vote for another candidate, or they may just skip the process altogether. All in the paragraph there. The last line. The negative publicity from this will make the Republican Party look bad and likely diminish participation in the primary election. And that was not written by Chuck.
No, that was the Nevada Republican Club here out of Las Vegas, and they're absolutely correct. Probably, I mean, one of the biggest things that we have to keep in mind here is just the public relations nightmare this is going to be. On February the 8th, either Nikki Haley or Tim Scott is going to win the Nevada primary. And then 2 days later, either Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis is going to win the caucus. So Nevada is going to have two winners. And if you don't think that's going to confuse people all over the country, I mean, the people in Nevada are confused, and we're talking about it right now. But everybody else is going to be confused, too. And what it's going to do is, and what the party is saying is that you can't trust a primary. That's why they had to do a caucus for all kinds of reasons. But two things about that. One, if you can't trust a primary, then why aren't they out there clamoring to change the rules which will govern the non-presidential primary for non-presidential candidates? That's going to be held in June. That's going to be a primary with all the same rules that the party right now is criticizing as an excuse for doing the caucus. It's just hypocrisy writ large. They said, well, we're going to do it for the presidential caucus, wink, wink, but we're not going to do it for the regular primary in June for every other office.
Yeah, crazy. Dan in Carson City has a question about what the legislature did. Dan, go ahead with your question for Chuck Muth.
Yeah. You know, the Democrats seem to be getting their way on this, and you've been following right along there, Chuck. With the caucus, there is no same-day registration like there is in the primary. There will be voter ID required, which is not done in the primary. The caucus will require voter ID, and you will have to be registered a Republican for at least 30 days prior to the caucus. Now, this whole scenario turns into like a California election. The Democrats come in, re-register as Republicans, vote for the weakest candidate, and then when it comes around to them, their time to the next vote, they'll re-register as Democrats. Now, what do you say about that?
Well, I think you just made my point. If that is such a problem that the party has to worry about, then why are they going with a primary in June for the non-presidential candidates?
Well, why don't they all sign on to the caucus? Because the primary, the Democrats have set it up so far for, you know, fraud in their favor. And you know this, Chuck. You know it well and good. And you're just trying to stir up the problems here. You know that you don't bring this matter up, that they will register their people over as Republicans.
Hey, Chuck, let me address Dan. Dan, Jerry Evans here. Cheating's typically done when it's a D versus an R. But if you're suggesting that they do a caucus every time, so you're suggesting that in June, when it's the regular June, quote-unquote, see air quotes, primary, should the candidates pay to be a part of the caucus?
Why not?
People running for the Assembly, running for the Senate, should pay the Republican Party to have their name on a ballot at the caucus?
Now, what
is that what you're suggesting?
What does that have to do with this presidential preference poll? You know, it has nothing to do with it.
I'm asking you a question, though. Regardless, can I ask you a question that has nothing to do with the presidential primary caucus that we're talking about? In your opinion, should Republicans have to pay during any election, assembly, county commissioner, or whatever, and have a caucus instead of a primary? Is that what you're suggesting? That's what I thought I heard.
You're twisting it around now.
Okay, then straighten me out.
You know, you're looking at it like it's a pay-to-play situation here. And, you know,
that's what it looks like.
Presidential...
That's what it looks like to me.
Election, you're talking about
people that are paying millions and millions of dollars worth of advertising in order to get elected. You know, and, you know, coming to the caucus to help us pay for setting it up and making sure it's a straightforward election is, you know, I think is a good deal.
Okay, Dan, and Chuck, you follow up, but I want to make this point. Dan, the Republican Party, I've been here for 20 years, it is not a winning party. It's in the minority most of the time. If you're going to encourage younger people to vote, to register to vote, and to participate in the voting, and older people as well, if you're going to try to get more Republicans to participate in an election, especially in light of the fact that the last election, 157,000 Republicans did not vote, do you think this is going to cause more Republicans to participate in the process in February? Yes or no?
Well, with the media attention to how it's all confusing and everything, if they just explain why the Republicans are doing this to avoid the problems on, you know, the primaries with the same-day registration and, you know, no voter ID and all that stuff, you know, and explain to them that we require these things to vote in the caucus. They do not require it to vote in the primary. And which one do you think is going to be a cleaner vote? And it's up to you guys on the media to explain that to the people and not sit there and poo-poo everything that's gone on.
Well, I,
you know,
Dan,
this was the reason that the caucus was continued.
Dan, I think it's a bad idea, and that's my opinion. And you disagree, and that's okay. Chuck, did you want to address Dan's comments?
Yeah, I just want to point out, again, that Dan's ducking the main point here, the hypocrisy of his position there. He's saying that you can't trust the primary, the state-run primary, for the presidential nominating process. And yet, just a few months later, you're going to be participating in the primary with all the problems you're saying that you want to avoid with a caucus. The Libertarian Party does not have a primary. They nominate their candidates at a convention. The Independent American Party does not have a primary. They nominate their candidates in a convention. If the Republican Party is so worried that they can't trust the results of a primary election run by the state, then why aren't the Republicans nominating their candidates for non-presidential offices in a caucus rather than a primary?
Because we want the public to be involved to make the decision, and not only by, you know, behind closed doors at meetings and so forth. You know, we want the people.
So you want
to
the public involved.
Involved
in the non-presidential races, but you don't want the public involved in the presidential race.
We would like to straighten out all these primaries. We'd like to take, you know, require voter ID. We'd want to take away same-day registration. We don't want this to become California. That's the way they play the game over there. And by the way, mentioned the stuff coming up on the next ballot. They want to have a jungle primary. They want to turn this into California. You know, and it's you know, now is the time to join hands and this conservatives to come together and not squabble about some, you know, a caucus and primary and say Michael McDonald's a cause and all that kind of nonsense.
Well,
you know that, Chuck, that is nonsense.
Go ahead, Chuck, and then I want to thank Dan for his call and address one thing again. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, but the fact of the matter is Michael McDonald is the chairman of the party. This is what he decided he wanted to happen, and then he got the Central Committee to go along with it. And, you know, and that's fine.
You know what the Central Committee, do people know what the Central Committee consists of? No. The Central Committee is every county in the state has
it's
a group
the governing
of Republicans
board for the Nevada Republican
that come
Party.
Together and do a vote.
Okay, hey, Dan, I'll let you go, but one thing that I want to key in on one of the words that you said, want. This is what you want versus what you're getting. What you want, you and I want the same thing, but we would go about it in different ways. And I'm just, Rush used to say mayor of Realville. I just look at what the Republican Party has done in the 20 years that I've been here. I look at the Republican Party that, as we mentioned earlier, you have one national representative from the Republican Party in Nevada. You've got a majority in the Assembly, a majority in the Senate. What you want is not getting you, or what you've been doing or what you want now in terms of a caucus is not getting us anywhere. When I say us, I am so far removed from the Republican Party, or it, like Ronald Reagan said about the Democrats, I didn't leave the Democrat Party, they left me. That's how I feel about the Republican Party. And I want to invite you to call in again sometime, and hopefully we can get Chuck back here again and discuss this and maybe have a longer format on it. Just keep your radio tuned to 99.1 FM Talk or 92.3 out in Lyon County. Chuck, I really appreciate you sticking around and answering the questions. I think we're on the same page on this. But one other, I wanted to get to one thing that you did recently, and that's a kind of a school or classroom or education on trying to help candidates win, and the three questions you should ask every candidate that you run into, people that are running for office. Let's go over those. I actually have one that I would add to it, but listen to Chuck. He knows more about it than I do. What are those three questions that you think that whenever you go to these meetings or these candidates show up running for whatever it may be, county commissioner, all the way up to the Assembly, the Congress, U.S. Senate, State Senate, what three questions should they be asking those candidates?
The first question is the most important. It's the one that the candidates will be asked by voters, donors, the media, everybody, is why are you running? And the candidate should be able to answer that in 30 seconds or less. And the answer should be what they want to do if elected, not what they want to be. So that's one. The second question is, and this is a biggie, ask the candidate, how many votes do you need to win? And as often as not, you'll hear the candidate say, well, I more than the other guy, or 50% plus one, or around 15,000. If that's the answer that they give you, they're not ready to run their race. They should be able, there's a mathematical formula, it's well known, where you can determine exactly how many votes you need to win. If you ask a candidate that question and the candidate says, I need 14,736, and they can explain how they got to that number, you've got a candidate that knows what they're doing. And then the last one is, you know, whether you like it or not, campaigns cost money. So ask them, how much is your campaign going to cost and how are you going to pay for it? Because too many of these candidates get in and they figure they can just win a race by walking door to door. That's not how you win a race. And that's why Republicans are so far behind and losing so many races they could otherwise win.
Now, again, listen to Chuck, not me, because a question I would ask is, how many bills or laws will you try to repeal? And especially gun laws. There are like 17,000 gun laws on the books. How many of those are you going to or will you try to repeal? If I ever hear of a candidate saying, I'm not going there to do anything, I'm going there to try to undo the crap that has been passed. I don't know what it is about these people that run for office. Some I have respect for and a whole lot I don't. I don't know the mindset of anybody that, what do they do? Sit around in the basement for 2 years or read the internet for 2 years. And every 2 years they all come forward and they've got 2,000 to 3,000 new ways to make life better for you and me. 2,000 to 3,000 bills. Now, granted, they're not all heard. They don't get through committee. But how do these people think that there are 2,000 to 3,000 new bills that should be presented? Things along the line of, especially in one of the worst economies we've ever had, and you'll know who I'm talking about, Chuck, somebody who proposes a bill to make the Weimaraner the state dog.
Don't even get me started on that one. But I do know the answer to this.
Well, answer this question. Real quickly. Was that a Republican or a Democrat who proposed that during the economy of 2007, 2008?
Yeah, that was a Republican.
Yeah, that's a rhetorical question, too.
Yeah. The problem is that when I got actively involved in politics about 30 years ago, an assemblyman at the time, Phil Stout, explained this to me. He said, the problem is that there's a culture among these legislators that if they don't get a bill passed, they're a failure. And they're not going to get a bill passed that's pro-gun or pro-life. Or they know those big issues they can't get passed. So they propose these silly bills that are absolutely meaningless to the average person's life and livelihood, just so they can say that they got something passed. And the Republican Party needs to change that culture. It shouldn't be a matter of whether or not you get a bill passed. I'm with you. I'd much rather have these candidates propose bills that are meaningful and use those as campaign issues so that you can get a majority and you have the voters saying, yeah, you said you were going to run on school choice like Governor Lombardo did, and therefore that's what he's doing and that's what we wanted. And the Democrats, of course, opposed the governor on that. Now he's going to be actively out there trying to get enough Republicans elected who will support him in his agenda.
Yeah, I find it weird, for lack of a better term, that these people sit around and come up with 2,000 new ideas, despite whatever their intentions are to make life better for you and me. Chuck Muth, Muth's Truths, appreciate you spending all the time, and I want to get you back again. We need to do it a couple more times before this primary caucus cluster coming up, but we'll let you go. But before we let you go again, how do people sign up for your email, make sure they can read what you're writing?
Yep, it's a free e-newsletter. Just go to muthstruths.com. That's M-U-T-H-S-T-R-U-T-H-S, muthstruths.com.
All right, thank you, Chuck.
And thank you for having me, Jerry, and I'm happy to come on anytime.
Perfect. We'll get you back again. 426, Jerry Evans in for Lars Larson. We'll take a quick look at traffic, take a break. We'll run a little late on the bottom of the hour break, guys, just so you know that. But let's take a quick look at traffic right after this.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Yeah, and don't forget podcast. Somebody called in earlier, wanted to know if they could get a podcast of today's broadcast. You can get most of it, and that'll be up by tomorrow morning. And go to 991fmtalk.com, check on the or click on the podcast tab, and the show should be there. Chuck Muth, Muth's Truths. A lot of disagreement between him, me, friends of mine in the Republican Party, chairmen, chair people, chairwomen, chairs, sofas, dinette tables. Is it time for another traffic? If I dug myself a hole, let's go to traffic live. Cue the, somebody sent me a text regarding Bruce Park's comment about not sure whether you really have the commitment to go to the caucus at 5 p.m., the text read, cue the Donnie Darko commitment to the sparkle motion audio. I don't know if you know what that means. I don't. 775-884-9910 if you got a question or a comment. And by the way, I want to just real quickly thank Tim Burnett, Solo Hunter, one of our new advertisers, Hunt and House Archery Center on Longley Lane. You can look them up online. It's not just archery. They got all kinds of boots for hunting, clothing, all kinds of gear. Thank you, Tim, for joining the family here as we run this family-owned and operated business here in Northern Nevada at Evans Broadcast Company, 99.1 right now and 92.3 in Smith and Lyon County. Appreciate you listening. And again, if you got any comments or questions, feel free to text that number or call in or send me an email, jerry@ebc.media. One of the things that keeps continuing to crop up, and every Republican candidate has to answer this question as to whether or not the last presidential election was legitimate. Did a guy who couldn't draw 200 people to a drive-in theater and campaigned from his basement, did he actually win against a guy who had a 20-mile-long caravan in Arizona? Did a guy who was leading by 690,000 votes at about 1 a.m. in the morning in Pennsylvania, and that's 1 a.m. our time, did he lose to a candidate, again, who campaigned from the basement and couldn't draw 200 people to a gathering? And there's actually a broadcast company in this market, Cumulus Media, that did a directive to all their employees that they could not question the outcome of the election. When have you ever seen four or five states that were counting votes shut down? They're counting all at the same time in every state with Trump leading. And again, in Pennsylvania by 690,000 votes. And then they all reopen, so to speak, at the same time. And lo and behold, Trump is losing Pennsylvania. There's no reason why you should question the validity of an election like that, right? 364,541 records identified as ineligible. Tom Sullivan earlier today was talking about all the votes or all the voters in the United States that were ineligible, either dead, registered in two different states, switched parties, or whatever. 2.8 million. In Georgia alone, 364,000 plus records identified as ineligible. 67,284 votes cast with voters' registrations were ineligible based on permanent change of residency. 48,207 of those votes corresponded to voters who had moved to a different county. 19,000 of those votes, voters who no longer lived in Georgia. 19,000. How many votes did Trump lose Georgia by? 11,779 votes. And that is from True the Vote. And if you can read it and see what you think. I want to remind you about the Veterans Day Parade and want to give a special shout out and a thought, if you can, for the guys that serve that don't necessarily go in to protect your freedom of speech, to protect the Constitution. They simply want to do bad things to bad people. I'll put my two sons in that category. They wanted to do bad things to bad people, and that's why they went in and served. And there are thousands of those types of guys. So a special thank you to those guys. You can recognize those and other veterans and everybody that served and thank them this Saturday in Reno. There's a parade at 11 a.m. It'll start at the Virginia Street Bridge in downtown Reno. It ends at the 5th Street, Virginia Street intersection. And again, that's this Saturday, November the 11th. And it starts at 11 a.m. Let's see, what time? We got 4:41. We got time to, I wanted to get into this situation here of reaping what you sow with the Jewish community. And maybe some of them, just like blacks and Hispanics, are waking up and not necessarily believing that everything ours do, as in Republicans, is bad. But they do a lot of bad stuff for conservatives. But 70%+ of the Jewish population identify as Democrats or lean toward the Democrat Party. And I just want to read you what happened when Trump was in office. For example, one thing, Jerusalem, moving the capital of Israel. Clinton promised to do it in 1992. George Bush criticized Clinton for not doing it. He didn't do it. In 08, Obama called Jerusalem the capital, but he never formally did anything about it. He didn't do anything about it. Donald Trump, President Trump, did recognize and does recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And what did he get in return for that from the Jewish community in the United States? About 20% of their vote. The Anti-Defamation League accused Trump of appointing anti-Semites and racists to his cabinet. In particular, they were referring to Steve Bannon, a top White House advisor. Bend the Ark, that's a Jewish action group. The National Jewish Democratic Committee claimed Trump was not serious about Jewish sensibilities. Jewish Vote for Peace, part of a boycott Israel movement. That I don't get. The Jewish Voice for Peace is part of a group that boycotts the Israel movement. That's kind of like Jews for Nazis, isn't it? Or Jews for Hamas. Religious Action Center of Reform Judaism, deeply disturbed by Steve Bannon's appointment and the American Jewish Committee as well. So all of these Jewish groups working against Donald Trump, Republicans in particular, and if they have their eyes and ears open now, they see what the Democrat Party in particular. And by the way, anybody know what did that vote pass today for Rashid Tlaib, the Michigan congresswoman? The nasty, foul human being that she did. They voted to censure her today. What was the vote? Anybody have that? We'll come up with that vote if you're interested and get back to that. Also, some elections are going on around the country. A couple of the most interesting races in Virginia to see. And that, what's kind of different than most states is every seat in the House and in the Senate in Virginia is up for grabs tonight. And so those election results, we'll see if they are any available tonight. They're trying to flip the Senate to Republican. And then the race for governor in particular, you may have some interest in, as in it is the first Black Republican running for governor against the Democrat, the liberal Democrat, the white person. Not that skin color has anything at all to do with anything. What do we got? Oh, you got that in front of my? Okay. The House rejected a move to kill a rebuke of Representative Rashida Tlaib, the only Palestinian American in Congress, accusing her of calling for the destruction of Israel. So they rejected a move, a motion to rebuke or censure. So, all right, well, that's a strong Republican Party, isn't it? That's a strong Democrat Party that did that sort of a vote. 4:46 is the time. Jerry Evans for Lars Larson, 884-9910 with the area code 775. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back and wrap up the show with your calls, 775-884-9910.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
Yeah, it is 4:51. Jerry Evans in for Lars Larson today. He'll be back in studio tomorrow and on the air. Thanks to Chuck Muth for spending a lot of time with us and answering some questions and a lot of disagreement there as to the right way to go. Caucus, primary, I think I know which is the right way to go. May not be perfect, but it's a mess. We'll get back to that again sometime, a couple of times between now and the primary. And also, I just want to mention real quick, it's hunting season. It's in full swing. Everybody be careful. Good luck out there. Anybody with a mule deer with big antlers causing problems in your area, it's called Unit 192. If you don't know where that is, that's basically Foothill in the Carson Valley West and Spooner South. If you've got a deer causing problems, call Jerry's Pest Control at 775-884-9910, and we'll take care of it. David Burns and Susan Jansen have been in Reno all day. They're with the Douglas County School Board. We were down there a couple of weeks ago. We moderated a town hall with both of those, and one or the other is going to jump on the phone with me right now and give me the latest. One of the things that I was surprised about is, David, if you can address this either now, preferably, is you voted against removing Keith Lewis. Do I have that right?
Yes. Yes, two of us did, Doug Engelkirk and myself.
Why?
So.
Yeah, I was just asking why. I'm not suggesting that you should have. I'm just asking you, why did you? Okay. I don't know if you read something into that. It was just why? Question mark.
Sure. Well, the reason why was both Doug and I, I'm sure that Doug, because the time before that, Doug voted against him to leave. But this time he decided to leave by his choice and not because of us that he wanted to basically retire. So, but the problem was, there's a lot of complaints about money being spent with the district, new legal counsel and all that stuff, and I won't go into that. But when it came to this, what passed was that we paid him and through July of next year, and plus the his PERS, which was $60-some thousand, and plus his the COBRA for his insurance. And Doug had talked to me about that before, after the last time, and he said, listen, the reason why I voted against that was not that he didn't want him to leave. He says if he's gonna be paid all that kind of money, then he needs to stay and work for it, and then he can leave. Well, that's the way it come up again. I agreed with Doug on that, and that's the reason why I voted. Wasn't that I didn't want him to leave. It's just that I didn't feel it was wise for us to spend, you know, what, $200-some thousand until next July, maybe even more than that, in order for him to leave.
Okay, fair enough. This whole, whatever you want to assign a name to it, that's been going on in Douglas County with all the contentious meetings and everything, you addressed a lot of those, and Susan was there with you, as well as Doug, a couple of weeks ago when we did the town hall. And you addressed, basically just give us a quick synopsis of why is all of this coming out and why is this all coming about? You guys are far right wing radicals trying to insert religion and prayer into the Douglas County school system. What's the deal?
No. What we're trying to do is there's a lot of things across the nation. We see it, and they say, well, it's not here. Well, some of it is. They deny it, but some of it is here. Not that that we're going to continually fight this. The point is, we wanted to make policies and bylaws that would protect what's going on in our schools. So we make sure wait till it does come in and then have to fight it then. So we just want to make sure that it's based on that, everything that we do. Mr. Lewis did not want to work with us. He flat out told our attorney that he says, I cannot work with this board. And he even made that comment, to what I've been told, by some teachers that he had meetings with teachers before we were even elected last year, and said, if this board, if these people win and are on the board, I will not work with them.
And why would anybody be against that? I mean, you guys are basically just going to be watchdogs, kind of police this to make sure that more of this CRT and whatever name you want to assign to this transgender and boys using girls' locker rooms and all of this is not brought into Douglas County schools. Is that right?
Well, that's exactly right. And what we're trying to do is, we were elected by a large majority of conservatives. There's no question Douglas County is very conservative. And their whole thing was, don't let this stuff come into this school system. And we, after getting in here and being a part of it, there is more to it than what's being spoken. There's some things, Jerry, I cannot address at this point, but there's going to be some additional things coming that I'm sure the public will be aware of when the time comes. The legalities of things, we have to be careful.
Okay. David, I hate to cut you short, but we're running a little late. Appreciate you jumping on with us, and I know Susan's there with you. Thank you both for calling in. We got to wrap up the show here real quick. Lars Larson will be back all tomorrow, right, and you can get the podcast at 991fmtalk.com.
Great. Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate everything you've done for us and coming down and moderating stuff. We appreciate that.